Well, even in my announcement, I made a mistake. So it's we're going to be Joel chapter 2, verses 18 through 27, not 28, if I said that. So that's found on page 967 of the Bibles provided for you in the pew. As I said, we'll be discussing, considering verses 18 through 27. But before we get there, it's just good to remind ourselves where we are. That the locusts had come upon the people of God, and there was utter destruction in the land. And this was all a picture of the pending day of the Lord that would come as judgment upon God's people. And so there is this call to repentance, a call to return to God. So here in this passage, after this call to repentance, we see this promise of restoration. So with this in mind, would you give your attention to God's word, the living word of the real and true God. Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, "Behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. I will remove the northerner far from you and drive him into the parched and desolate land, his vanguard into the eastern sea and his rear guard into the western sea. The stench and foul smell of him will rise, for he has done great things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Fear not, you beasts of the field. For the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine give their full yield. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that swarming locusts have eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. And my people shall never again be put to shame." People of God, this is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, as we consider your word, we have before us this picture of restoration and forgiveness. May we see the glory of this as it ultimately points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, just it bears in mind that we need to do a little bit of review as we enter into this passage. So when we've studied Joel in the past, we understand this dire situation for the people of God. These hordes of locusts had ravaged the land. They destroyed the crops. All the reserve seed that they had in their barns was gone. They had nothing to plant with. There was no rain. Drought had plagued the land. The land, the beasts of the field, the people were all affected by this plague of locusts. And as we read previously, it says that all joy, all gladness had left the land. And this wasn't just the providential hand of God. This was due, all a result of Israel's sin against God. They had forgotten the God who redeemed them, who had brought them out of Egypt into that promised land. They no longer lived by and for the commands of God and his precepts, What they were doing is they were living for themselves. And so to get their attention, God sends this plague of locusts, saying, "Wake up. You're wandering from me." And so in the beginning of chapter 2, that these locusts were a picture of a greater day of judgment that was awaiting the people of God if they did not turn from their wicked ways. And the question was asked, who could stand before the Lord when he comes in judgment? Who could stand? And the answer clearly is no one. No one can stand before a holy God. And so therefore, Joel preaches. He says, repent. Repent. Call the whole community. Lament over your sin. Don't just show an outer sign of repentance. Don't tear your garments as the custom was. Don't just shed a tear on the outside. But tear your hearts. Come before God, acknowledging that you sinned against him. You stand condemned before him. Have a broken heart, a contrite heart, because this is what the Lord desires. And then to call out to God, oh God, have mercy on us. Brothers and sisters, as much as sin may be appealing, as much as sin draws you in with promises of success, of freedom, of pleasure, the truth is, like the land of Israel in the time of Joel, sin leads to destruction and death and desolation. And you may not have experienced this desolation in your life fully. Maybe right now you feel very comfortable in your sin. You feel safe. But Joel reminds us that judgment awaits for those who remain in their sin and unrepentant. And when we examine this passage, we can recognize that there was no strategy. There was no strategy that Israel could employ to get them out of the spot that they were in. Do you understand this devastation? They had no food to eat then, and they had no seed to plant for the next year's harvest. So, we as God's people, like the people of Israel, we need to recognize our sin. Recognize our sin for what it is, and our utter helplessness to change our predicament and respond in repentance before God, to throw ourselves before the mercy seat of God Almighty and cry out, oh God, have mercy on us. For we know that the day of the Lord is a day of judgment. But there's also a promise in here, and there's also hope in this passage. Not only is the day of the Lord a day of judgment, but the day of the Lord is a day of mercy and forgiveness. It's a day of the sins removal, a day of restoration with God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, there's hope in the gospel. There's hope in the gospel alone. And up to this point, Joel has had a message of judgment, but here this evening we have a message of hope. And what has changed? Well, previously in chapter 2, the people of God were called to repent. And it seems as if here at this end part of chapter 2, that the people of God responded in repentance. And what follows in verse 18 is God's response to God's people. Repentant and changed heart. And so this evening we'll look at the promises that God has for us, his people, when we respond in repentance. The first promise that we see in this text is God's promise to remove the destruction of of sin in your life. It says in verse 18, then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending you grain and wine and oil, and you will be satisfied. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. In this passage, we're reminded that God is jealous for his people. He loves his people. He has pity on his people. He hears the prayers of his people. He says, your grain was gone. Your barns were empty. You had no wine and oil. You had nothing left. These locusts took away everything. But God is jealous for his people. He loves his people. He would no longer make him a reproach among the nations. And when the nations say, where is your God? You've lost everything. Where is he? God said, I will take away your reproach. I will fill your barns. I will give you wine and oil. This is what I will do. It's clear in this passage, three times, it says, I will. I will. I will do. And we as Americans or 21st Americans, we might find it difficult to imagine tough times like this. Most of us don't suffer from a lack of food. Moreover, we have abundance of food. But the people of God in Israel had nothing. There was a drought. The crops were gone. The prospects of next year's crops were gone. They were in a very bad place. But God, the Lord, heard their prayers. This was a wonderful news to the people of God who were starving. And then he says in verse 20, that he'll remove the northerner far from you and drive them into the parched and desolate land, his vanguard into the eastern sea and his rear guard into the western sea. The stench of the foul smell of him will rise, for he has done great things. And as we look at this passage historically, we don't know where God brought this swarm of locusts in from. But generally, for the people of God, the invaders would come from the north. Whether it be the Assyrians or the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, eventually the Romans, they came from the north. And what the Lord is saying, this army of locusts, which he led as judgment upon the people, now he turns them to the east into the Dead Sea. And he drives them to the west, into the Mediterranean Sea. They will be destroyed. Why? Because he loves you. And when you smell that stench of the dying carcass of locusts, you're to remember that I have delivered you. I've taken you from their bondage. Though I disciplined you with this army because of your sin, I will remove them from you, and I will remove my judgment from you. Do you see the gospel in this passage of Joel? That sin leads to judgment, and judgment separation from God. But when you come to God, when confronted with your sin in repentance, claim the mercies of God, the promise of God is that he will remove judgment that is due to you. And why is that? It's because of Jesus Christ. It's because in Jesus Christ, he took upon himself your sin. Jesus Christ received the judgment that you deserved. And as Paul says in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The condemnation is no longer placed upon you. It's placed upon Jesus Christ. And it's even more profound than that. For in Jesus Christ, you're not only free from the condemnation of sin, the penalty of sin, but in Jesus Christ, you've been freed from the power of sin over you. Sin no longer has dominion over you. In Jesus Christ, you have the power to resist the devil and he will flee. In Jesus Christ, you have the power to live a life pleasing to God. Congregation, you have been set free in Christ. But not only are you free from the condemnation of sin, not only are you free from the power of sin in your life, in verses 21 through 25, we have the second promise, the promise that the Lord will restore you to a life of spiritual fruitfulness. Verse 21 says this, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Fear not, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green, and the trees bear fruits, and the fig trees and the vines are full of their yield." And it goes on, "Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rains and the latter rains." And then verse 25, "I will restore." Or can be translated, "I will repay. I will pay back to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten." This passage, this portion of the scripture, begins with a call to rejoice and be glad. For all that has been taken place has now been reversed in what God has done. The livestock, which had roamed the land, this barren wasteland, now have green grass to eat. The trees that were once stripped of the fruit will again produce a harvest. The land, the rain had been taken away. The rain will begin again. The early rains that soften the ground for the harvest. The latter rains that cause the produce to grow strong and fruitful will resume. For the people of God, their barns are filled. It's for like you and I. Our refrigerators are full again. Our pantries are full and overflowing. And then here at verse 25, which I believe is the summary statement of this passage, "I will restore to you the years that the locusts had taken away from you." What we have in this passage, even though you may have violated my law, because you have repented and returned to me, God says, "I'm going to restore. I'm going to restore all the covenantal blessings that are yours. All that you lost in judgment, I will give back to you." This theme of restoration overrides this entire passage. When you are confronted with your sin, when you respond in repentance, the Lord will restore. This ought to remind us of the story of the prodigal son, who took his inheritance and went and lived a life of sin. He squandered everything that he had. And in the end, he was feeding the pigs and eating the leftovers. He recognized the destruction that he brought upon himself. He said, the servants in my father's house have it much better than I do. So he decides to move back, return to his father's house, hoping to be restored as a servant. But when he was a long way off, his father sees him. He runs to him, and he restores him as a son. He puts a ring on his finger. He gives him a new coat to wear. When you run back to the Lord, he will restore. Often I think to myself, and I hear others say, "Look at all the time I've wasted. Look at all the time I've wasted. All the years I've wasted in my sin. Have I thrown away my life?" Brothers and sisters, you may have wasted years of your life living for sin. You may have wasted years of your life addicted to drugs and alcohol. You may have wasted years of your life pursuing wealth and power. You may have wasted years of your life in sexual promiscuity. You may even be right now, you may have a life that's just a mess because of your sin. Your family may be a mess. Your work, occupation, your bank account may be a mess because of your sin. Your body may be aching and fading because of your sin. But the message of Joel is that the Lord can, not only can he, but he will restore that which is taken away because of your sin. And that doesn't mean that you're going to get all your money back or all your relationships with your family are going to be fixed, that you'll restore your health. But the Lord promises that he will restore in ways that you cannot imagine. When you respond in repentance and return to him. This is a great message. You may have wasted your life in so many ways. You may have been given yourself over to so many sins. But today is the day of salvation. Recognize your sin for what it is. Repent and turn to the Lord. I feel it so many times as a parent. How many times have you messed up? You wish you had done it better. God says, repent. Return to me. All those years you have lost will be restored. He will take and restore the years that the locusts had eaten. And so after we've seen these promises of God, we have only one response. And we see it in 26 and 27. The only response is to praise the Lord for what he has done. He says, you will eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people should never again be put to shame. And you shall know that I am in your midst, in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. My people shall never again be put to shame. As we saw, it was not because of their good works, but it was only because of the mercy and grace of the Lord that Israel was restored. And it says here that the only proper, appropriate response is to praise the Lord and to live in loyalty to him and him alone. We did praise the Lord. For we didn't receive what we deserved. But in Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. And we've been restored to fellowship with God and to live a fruitful Christian life. And that we have the Holy Spirit in our midst, dwelling in and among us. Praise God for his restoration and forgiveness. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, our sin is great. But as Joel teaches us, when we repent and turn to you, you show mercy. Not because we deserve it, because you love us. So Father, help us to rest in that. Although we may have made our lives a mess because of our sin, you promise to restore. And so, Lord, help us to rest in this promise. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who was condemned for us that we might have life and have life abundantly. It's in his name we pray. Amen.